Good morning, Lagos, and welcome again to Digital Life. It's an awesome Sunday, not a very, very great Sunday, but, you know, it's an awesome Sunday. We've getting so many reports. You know, I've been out there on the field and it's been not so great. But
that's right. Emmanuel has been covering the building collapse that happened at Oniro. Emmanuel, I'm so sorry you had to go through the...
Yeah, I had to just like leave everything I was doing. I had planned to, you know, do a lot of preparations this morning, you know, ahead of Digital Life. But then I couldn't even do that because I just had to jump up from the bed and just start raising there to see how things were. I was totally drenched by the rain.
I'm so sorry about that. Man. Comes with being a reporter. I'm so sorry about that. But then again, though, what's this? You gave us some feedbacks at the...
Maybe we can leave that one to like the end of Digital Life. So let's get into the mood of Digital Life.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I was hoping to give Lagos a bit of update, but Lagos, it's not my fault that Emmanuel doesn't want to talk. You heard me. I was trying to bring you people updates. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that by 12. Okay. Before we take the updates. Welcome back to Digital Life. You know how we do it here. Every Sunday, we give you everything you need to know about tech, the world of tech. We tell you about tech conversations. And talking about tech conversations, we talk about tech news. And then we tell you about indigenous innovations. That's one of the things that we do here on Digital Life. Yvonne, have you heard about the story? We've been talking crypto for quite some time now. Have you heard about the story that Samsung is set to roll out a digital currency? A cryptocurrency.
A what?
A cryptocurrency.
Look, I've not been able to deal with Bitcoin and Ethereum. Samsung wants to bring it. So we're still struggling with the e-naira. Look, I don't want to hear about that one right now, please.
So it goes to show, you know, how... So it's not like it's an exchange, rather. So it's like a platform.
An
exchange platform where we have something like a Binance, you know, just something like that. So that's what they're going to roll out. But I really do not know, you know, how this is going to be. I think we should have someone come in sometime soon to talk about
we
this.
Will, but in the meantime, let us talk about financial services. Remember the last time, I think about two or three Sundays ago, we had someone from the traditional banking sphere to talk to us about the future of traditional banking.
Yeah.
We had quite the conversation when we had him, you know, talk to us about the future of traditional banking, especially with the advent of fintech, you know.
I was quite surprised that day because I was surprised that a banker had so much knowledge about fintech.
Exactly.
You know, tying it to blockchain. Like, man was giving us everything about blockchain. It's not like we're his students and he was our lecturer that very day.
I understand. I was also lost for words. But today, we are going to talk about the other side. Remember, again, as I mentioned to Emmanuel Onwuka, we had a banker talk to us about the future of traditional banking, you know, as opposed to financial technology. But today we are going to talk about fintech and how fintech is fostering financial inclusion in Nigeria, in Africa. And to do justice to that conversation, we have a fintech professional. He is, in fact, the executive director, growth and partnerships for one of these big fintech, these companies that offer services in financial technology. Unfortunately, I do not want to get into trouble, so I cannot.
You don't want to do that.
I know get strength for Wahala. I know get strength for Wahala. So
let him mention the name.
But we have joining us Adekunle Adebiyi. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning and thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to have you here, sir.
Let's start. I was just telling you, heard when I told Emmanuel about fintech, about the time we had a traditional banker, you know, working with one of these big traditional banks that talked to us about the future of financial services, especially as regards traditional banking. And of course, especially as many people are still unbanked, you know. A lot of people live in rural areas and stuff. So let us start by defining financial technology.
Okay, thank you so much. I think the first thing I'd like to say is the traditional banking that you just mentioned is not the other side of banking, while financial technology or fintech, as it were, is the other side.
Okay.
I see a convergence. The whole thing is going in one single direction.
Okay.
financial technology, as it were, if you look at it, finance, which is the traditional thing we've always done, with technology. So financial technology is about using technology to enhance the process of financing, to make it easy, a lot more sustainable, create more access, and so on and so forth. So any business that uses technology to modify or enhance or automate financial services is said to be a financial technology company. And of course, it's targeted at businesses and at individuals.
Okay, great. So that means that you offer, you just mentioned the convergence of traditional banking and fintech. Are there challenges, you know, where that convergence is concerned?
I don't see too much of challenges. Okay, I think I see a lot more of collaboration.
Okay.
The banks must also introduce technology. The moment the banks start to introduce technology in advancing financial services to consumers where they live, play, or work, they are also engaging in financial technology. So it's not only the fintech companies that are doing fintech, as it were. Any organization, be it telco, and you see what the telcos are also doing in this environment now.
Yeah.
Be it even any individual, as long as you apply tech, technology to get financial services or products to consumers where they live, you are a fintech.
Okay, so we've seen some of the traditional banks, you know, come up with some is it apps now? Let's say apps or some form of digital banking scheme, you know, under their own umbrella. Like for Wema Bank that we have there a lot.
Yes.
For Fidelity has their own, you know, UBA has their own, you know, just like that. Oh, you have this. But one of the challenges we've seen is that persons using the apps always have issues. We have issues with the apps, applications on your phone. You know, it's just like back then when we have traditional NEPA lights, you know, and then it rainfalls. Yeah. They'll tell you that the wire is wet. Yeah. You understand? So it's just like this. You know, sometimes you can't go access the app. And it's like, it's a challenge. It's a very great challenge because some of these other fintechs that are on their own solo, you know, not under any traditional banks, they are actually able to, they don't have that challenge. But we have this challenge from the traditional banks.
Well, I don't, that may not also be completely true.
Okay.
Whether you are a bank, I spent the last over 20 years of my life working in telecom companies in Nigeria. So the vehicle through which all these things are passing is, you know, built largely on data networks of telecom companies.
Okay.
So whether it's a Payvice that belongs to ITEX that you're using as an app in Kano, or you're using the one you mentioned before that belongs to a bank,
yeah,
there is a failure on the vehicle that is taking it. Okay, that is going to take you from point A to point B, then definitely you feel the impact on the app, whichever one you're using. I think the most important thing is how you are quickly able to put systems in place. I think one of the very interesting discussions we've had is auto-reversal, for example. So if there's a failure, you see the money back in your account almost immediately. You also have processes of logging the, you know, the complaint, even where you don't get the money immediately. So we need to start to get to the point where people start to trust the process. Okay, I've made a purchase in at a merchant location. I've been debited. The merchant says I've not seen the money. I should be able to do another transfer, or the merchant should be able to trust me to know the money is going to come at some point, or I should know that there is going to be auto-reversal or reversal at some point. But there will always be failure.
Fantastic.
At any one point.
Mr. Adebi, you just mentioned auto-reversal, and I remembered how my 1,450 naira went and never came back to me.
You have to remember that one.
Emmanuel,
it's not even
every naira, what do you mean? Emmanuel, every naira counts in this economy. So Mr. Adebi, as I was saying before Emmanuel interrupted
You will always get your money back.
I didn't get my money back and I'm still paying. And I'm tempted to drag the bank, but because...
It's 1,000 naira.
Yes, well because...
But I can assure you that if you engage that bank, you'll get your money back.
I engaged them. They even reached out to me and told me to talk to the person whose... It was even via POS, which we're going to talk about soon. But please hold on. Let's even talk about some of the services that fintech, that financial technology is able to offer that a lot of traditional banks still struggle with.
Thanks. Look, on the app that belongs to a lot of the fintechs, mm-hmm. I think it's easy for a fintech to sign an agreement with a service provider. Value-added services is one of the big things. You know that the fintech is only focused on providing these specific services to the people.
Yes.
That's what they eat, drink. I mean, it's their breakfast, it's their lunch, it's their dinner. So they have a way of, you know, sitting with these value-added services providers. They also have a retinue of software engineers that are building the softwares and building the systems
updating
and the solution,
them.
Updating, you know, daily. Again, that's what they do every day. So if you take a DISCO, for example, an electricity distribution company, I'll use Abuja or Ikeja as an example. I mean, these guys have agreement with a lot of the fintechs, like ITEX, for example. So you want to buy electricity token on Abuja Electric. If you go to ITEX app now and you click on Abuja Electric, you just make your purchase. It's straightforward. If a bank is going to do that, it may also be a distraction from the core thing. What the banks do today, I mean, they're bothered about giving loans, huge facilities to corporate organizations. I mean, there are several ways of making profit for the banks. But the fintech must ensure that these value-added services, you know, are built well. The collaboration is key. Most times, what you see the fintech do is to co-create the value with the value-added service provider. So that's what gives them the competitive edge. So point of failure are always very few. But of course, discussion around software engineers is another, managing them in Nigeria is another issue.
Let's look at it from that point now. What you just explained now, you mean that the bank is leading with a whole lot of things to do. You know, a whole lot of ways to draw in income. And the fintechs are kind of like streamlined.
Correct.
So they have a very direct vision. They have a very direct plan of this is our goal and this is how we want to achieve it. So how can the traditional banks now have this fintech inculcated? How can they succeed? Because they've actually, just like the ones we mentioned, they've actually rolled out plans, you know, to go into digital banking.
Before he even answers that question, Mr. DB, you talked about value-added services.
Yeah.
And you did talk about fintech and then these value-added services. But it all sounds so abstract. Can you break it down for the common man who doesn't know that he's even using a fintech service? Who doesn't know that he's using financial technology? For the man who is living in some remote area that isn't even aware that the service that he's using is fintech, please break it down with examples that are very practical examples.
Okay, if you do any transaction, okay, from the comfort of your palm, without having to leave your house or your office where you are seated now, if you do any transaction now without having to physically move from here to the location where whoever you are transacting with is, you're already enjoying a fintech service. If you transfer money from here now and your mom receives it in the village, you are already enjoying fintech service. Now, way back, if you want to, maybe you want to pay NEPA bill, you have to leave your office or your house. You must visit the NEPA office. You have to join the queue. You have to pay. You get a receipt. Now, if you go through any of the apps that belong to the fintech and you pick the icon that represents the electricity distribution company that you're using, and you put your meter number and you put the value that you want to buy, it's automated. So in the middle of the night, you cannot really be afraid that, oh yes, maybe my, you know, meter is my token is going to finish and I won't have light. All those ones are in the past. Now, if you enjoy that service, you are already also enjoying fintech service. In 2001, when GSM was launched in Nigeria, before you can recharge your phone, you must go on the street, you must buy your recharge, you must load, and so on and so forth. Today, you don't do that anymore. I mean, with the dial of a code or, you know, going to a web or even via WhatsApp, okay, you can chat with a bot and you recharge your phone. This is fintech. This is, you know, technology infused into the traditional way of doing things to create efficiency in a sustainable way. That's what it is. So anyone who is enjoying that today is already.
But what about for people who really don't have sophisticated phones, you know, that run app services, people that just use the average, you know, just the normal phone, not exactly. So what kind of fintech service do they enjoy?
Well, there are so many things you can enjoy even with your phone that is not a smartphone. That's if you don't even approach an agent for the things that your phone cannot do. A lot of these things can also be transacted via USSD. You know, you dial a special short code, and through interactive messages, you are able to complete some transactions, but these are limited. Today, maybe there are about 40 million smartphones in Nigeria. I mean, POS terminals, as it were, is actually more than that. I mean, maybe about 1.5 million POS terminals are spread across the country. So even transactions that you cannot do on your simple analog phone, you will be able to do by approaching. So you can do it yourself. You can do it at an agent location. And I think the injection of these POS terminals, you know, in collaboration with the fintechs and some of the banks as well, is what is also ensuring that the ones that you cannot do yourself, you can do at an agent point.
Now, talking about POS.
Yeah.
Let's get into that conversation right now. Yeah. Talking about POS, we have a lot of complaints from people. So, yes, POS is very good. You know, when they were introduced, a lot of persons were skeptical about it. But, you know, over time, it has come to be widely accepted. You know, you can't walk two poles without seeing a POS point at anywhere you are in Nigeria, especially if you're on the mainland. You can eventually see them like everywhere, you know, all supermarkets, everywhere they have it. But then there are complaints. We're receiving complaints about people who get debited right after they make purchase. I was speaking with someone yesterday, and she said she made a purchase, you know, with her card and left the point on a Saturday. And by a Sunday evening, she's seen a web purchase with her card, and the card is with her, and she's in a web purchase, and then it's like, okay, how did I do a web purchase from somewhere? And I've had someone else say the same thing. So there's some form of way they get that card. Now my question is, we're trying to reach out to the unbanked, and one of the ways we're reaching out to the unbanked is through this POS, you know, points everywhere, you know. And if we're having these issues more and more, it's actually going to affect their mindset about embracing technology, embracing digital life, as it seems. So what is the challenge, or how do these guys even do this thing in the first place, and what can we do about it?
Okay, look, I don't want us to also now focus on the negative of the POS.
But it's a budding challenge.
I agree with you. I'm only saying that even in the traditional banking space, we've had issues of fraud. Fraud will always happen, no matter how you prevent. There will always be armed robbers, there will always be thieves, and so on and so forth. What I like to say is, where we are today is not where we were 5 years ago, 4 years ago, even last year. Continuous improvement is what we, as you're trying to put preventive measures in place, you know, to prevent the terminals from even getting compromised, you know quite well that those guys that are also, you know, with the minds to commit fraud, we also continue to innovate as well. So that's where you have hackers and so on and so forth. What I've said is, most of these terminals, one of the things we did, for example, is to say they have MDMs, okay? They have mobile device management solutions in them. We know where they are. I mean, I'm talking about the ones deployed by ITEX, for example. We know where the terminals are. We know who these terminals are, you know, have been allocated to. So as an agent, before I give you my terminal, I do KYC, okay, for you.
I have your
BVN.
Yeah.
Then I am always checking. I have a platform to see transactions that are happening, you know, on almost a real-time basis. Okay, so there are technology teams. If you come into our office, for example, I mean, it's in VIA, you guys can visit. You'll see, you know, screens on the wall that are showing transactions as they're happening. When there are escalations, I mentioned auto reversal. Auto reversal is something that happens immediately. Then if you escalate between us and the banks where the money is going to, you know, get into as well, there are processes, escalation processes that we put in place to ensure that the money get reversed to the owner. Okay, now doing a transaction that is web and maybe a POS transaction that is coming as a web, except it is repeated. Maybe you do one transaction, you are debited twice. Okay, if you are debited twice, definitely the other money, the money is not missing, except there is, you know, in case of a fraud. Okay, and fraud conversation is another conversation entirely. I think.
So, but what can people who use POS services a lot, yes, do to protect their finances? Because again, in as much as this is a fantastic fintech is fantastic, yeah, like you mentioned, traditional banking also has cases of fraud. So financial technologies cannot be, you know, exempted, because again, you know, bad people will always do bad things.
Correct.
So what then can good people, well-meaning Nigerians who are just trying to make an honest living and are looking to perform transactions, you know, do, especially people who deploy POS services and other financial services, what can they do to ensure that they are not defrauded, ensure that they don't, yeah, lose their hard-earned monies?
Record. I mean, first thing I said is, you know, for those that are deploying terminals now, we keep on putting, you know, systems in place, protective systems, to ensure that you are not able to commit a fraud, okay, using a POS terminal, because we know who. So if I give my terminal to you, Yvonne, and I have your details, mm-hmm, if a customer complains that, I mean, my money is debited and I didn't get value, okay, if that will definitely get to us, we will know where the money is, okay, and the agent that did the transaction will definitely be held accountable, because the system, the solution in the terminal. Remember, also I did mention that in Nigeria today, what the guys in the software development of fintechs do,
yes,
every day is to, aside from bringing in additional innovations, mm-hmm, new ways of doing businesses, integration with new operators or value-added service providers, what they also focus on, mm-hmm, is to ensure that they prevent fraud. Fraud prevention is big. Is big. So you cannot, I mean, I've not heard of a situation where somebody says, I lost money and I'm not able to get my money back by doing a transaction via POS. That has not been resolved. Otherwise, the whole country would have perhaps been, maybe because yours was 1,400. maybe that's why.
I felt
thank
that
you,
one.
And
I, that's why people say, because my money was small.
You were an ITX POS.
See, it was not man that really visited it to you.
Yeah. So, please refrain from mentioning the brand that you work with. It's not, that's soft advertising. We do not want to be held liable for any wahala
that's fine.
Okay, yeah. Great. Let's talk a bit some more about, I see the phone line is buzzing already. These people want to talk to you. But let me ask this question. Can people who do not have bank accounts, yeah, right, and maybe don't have ATM cards, use POS services? What services are tailored for to people who are unbanked, generally unbanked, and don't use cards, for instance? What services can they deploy?
Yeah, so if you have cash with you, mm-hmm, now, and you want to pay money to someone who is maybe you are in my 12th market and you want to send money to somebody in Maiduguri or in Ilaro or, mm-hmm, in Calabar, for example, mm-hmm, and you don't even have any bank account. If you take that money to a POS operator, an agent, and you say, I want to send this money to so-so person in so-so place, that is doable. Okay, you can do that transaction. When we talk about financial inclusion now, the focus really is actually to bring all the adults into that bucket of the financially included. Mm-hmm. Remember, the way the World Bank defines financial inclusion is that individuals and businesses having access to basic financial products and services,
mm-hmm.
okay, such as, you know, bank accounts, insurance, credit, and pensions in a manner that is sustainable and also affordable.
Hmm.
Okay, this is the critical engine for economic growth and development. So
that's right.
If you don't have an account today and you are an adult, if you approach a POS agent, you will actually... we will be able to open a bank account.
Oh, really?
With basic requirement.
Hmm.
You will have a virtual account that will be opened for you. You will definitely need a phone number, which is a bit of a challenge because people, most of the focus now, a lot of people, the focus is on the urban and the semi-urban that is easily, you know, that are easily accessible.
Not the inner cities and rural areas.
This is where distribution becomes a key factor for real fintech to succeed in Nigeria. We still have over 36% of the adult population, of the 106 million adult population, that are yet unbanked. We need to still bring these people into the circle. Now, the requirements are fewer now. And NIN, National Identity Number, is one thing that is also spreading like wildfire. You know, the federal government is doing a lot of good work around ensuring that we have a unique identifier for all Nigerians. So if you have your NIN and you have an MSISDN, a phone number, you can open a virtual account. I mean, when you now have a BVN, they can increase the tier because this thing comes in tier one where you can do basic, you know, little transactions that are not maybe more than 20,000 naira. The moment you start to do some transactions that the value of the money is higher, you will need to bring in your BVN. You need to really have a BVN. And of course, enrolling for BVN is one of the things that the agents are also doing. That's why I said the line between traditional banking, what the Nigerian interbank settlement system, the SANEV, what they are doing in Nigeria today under the CBN's guidelines is to ensure that the line is getting blurry. So at the end of the day, agents can issue BVN, okay, on behalf of the banks.
Oh,
and if you have a BVN, you can increase the tier. So you have your NIN, you have your MSISDN, you can easily register and open a virtual account. You have a BVN, it can become a proper bank account.
Lagos.
You can do transactions. Yeah.
Lagos, did you open a bank account using a POS? Was it a POS agent that helped you open an account? Let's talk about that. That's really interesting.
I'm just hearing this for the first
time. Honestly, I thought, you know, wow, Lagos, how did you open your first bank account? Or did you recently open an account using a POS agent? Call us right now. Let's hear this gist. Did you encounter challenges? 0700-993-993-993. Or better yet, if you know, you have a question for our guest in the studio, you know, a question you'd like our guest to answer, also call us on 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us on 01465-7190, 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. Emmanuel, I see a message here.
Yeah,
oh, hold on. There's a phone call coming in. Hello.
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 Welcome to the show. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What is going on?
Okay, so this one is promising you a return of your 1,000 naira.
What did he say?
I like this person.
What did he say? Should I call out my account number? I want my money. I want my 1K. It's actually 1,450 naira.
So definite from Yanukwaja says that his money has been held down in the bank's vault. All reversed money since November 2021, and he's promising that if he gets that money back, he would pay you your 1,000 naira and 1,000 naira and buy you pizza.
Look at that! Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Please turn down the volume of your radio. Hello, can you hear us? Turn down the volume of your radio. Or step away from the radio, please.
Good morning.
When you understand what we just said, which is, please, when you call, step away from your radio, or better yet, turn down the volume so that we are able to hear you and not ourselves. Hello. Welcome to the show. Good morning. What is going on with the phone lines?
Okay, we have another message here.
Okay, please go ahead.
He said, with regards to helping solve POS frauds, this is the advice. Mm. So he's putting his opinion here. He said, ensure to always check one or two POS operator rather than any POS point you see. Have a trusted POS in your area of residence and at your place of work. POS fraud 7 out of 10 times is committed by an operator who sees you as a first-timer user on its POS.
Hmm.
So in using one or two, you can trace and track spendings with a view to resolve failed transactions and fraud when perpetrated. So this is Chris listening. Chris, thank you so much.
Chris, if this is the Chris that is listening all the way from Accra, thank you so much for listening. If you are not the Chris listening all the way from Accra, also thank you so much for
He's
listening.
He's the Chris from Accra. He's the Chris from Accra.
Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry. I don't know what is going on, but please keep trying. Hello. Hello. 0700 993 993 993. If that number is giving you wahala, call 01465 7190. Hello.
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 Shekere. Our first caller that has not done two. Welcome to the show. Yes.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
We can hear you. Go on.
Good morning, Brambles. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. You're listening to Digital Life. I don't know if...
Oh, brother Ambrose is.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Adonis G. This is a new caller.
Oh, first
okay,
time
do you
caller.
Have a question?
Yeah, I am a gospel singer.
Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry. You're listening to the wrong show, sir. But we can convert you. This is Digital Life, where we introduce you to the world of technology and bring technology to you. We break it down into the simplest terms so that you understand what is going on in the world around you, so that the world will not come and go and pass you by.
Don't worry. When we're having tech in music, we'll call you. Eh?
Hallelujah to that. Hallelujah to that, brother. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome
Good
to
morning.
The show. Good morning.
Uh-huh. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
What's your name?
Madam Esther.
Good My morning. Name is Esther.
Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Okay, you already know my name.
Yeah.
Okay, what I want to complain about is that since I took my ATM to one POS around me in my area, I have been using one particular one far away from me, and there was no problem. Since I took my ATM to that very particular one near my area, I've been having this experience that any time money enters my account, it's either 100 naira is removed. Now, yesterday I was trying to transfer money, which did not transfer from my phone, but they have already removed 88 naira. You know, all this little money, I always calculate everything. Since I am a banker by profession anyway, but I have just, I'm no more in the bank, I'm elderly now.
Right.
So I tend to calculate every kobo in my account. And I kind of audit my account. So I don't know what is happening.
Okay.
And I don't know how I can go to the bank and start complaining about 80 naira, 100 naira, you know, that kind of thing. Even the transport fare alone is more than 1,000 naira going there. So I just need an explanation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take another call before Mr. Adebi answers that question. Hello? Hello? Ah, well, hello. Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Digital Life. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Eleganza. I'm James.
Okay, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about our service now. Like, I'm using a net bank and I normally transfer when I went to QA. Understand?
Hello?
This is not a bank.
You have to speak up lively.
This is financial technology. The person in the studio is not a banker.
I know what the fact is that sometimes when I went to I know that dream well. Well, I'm not talking about the network right now. It's very poor.
I'm sorry, but maybe when a banker comes to the studio,
you know, we can have that conversation.
But we're talking about financial technology and financial inclusion, how fintech is helping financial inclusion. And I'd like to hear, if you ever opened an account using a POS service, how did that work for you? What did you do? How did it happen? Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Daniel calling from Songo.
Daniel, go ahead.
Please, I have a question to ask.
Okay. Go ahead. We can hear you,
Hello?
Daniel. We can hear you.
Go ahead.
Yes, go.
Look, when you call and we say go ahead, we can hear everything you're about to say. We can hear you. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to...
Good morning once more.
Good morning.
It's Awoka. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
This is Christopher Awoka.
Do you have a question, Chris?
No, first, like the POS guy, I have the one I use, permanent one.
Okay.
And whenever I go there, if that person is not there, I don't do my transaction.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it is good. But for this one, you see all over the places, I find it difficult, you know, that trust. So I have that permanent one I always use, which is trustworthy for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Emmanuel, do we have a question?
Yeah, we have a question here, and everybody's talking about the fraud, you know, POS fraud. You know, can your guest give us how the web fraud through POS happens? You know, Ajayi from Epe's accent, you know. I think, first of all, that they just take your card details, you know, because you're punching your details and then you're slotting your card in, so they can kind of like harvest your card details and then they use it for a web
online transaction.
You know, I think it goes down to the POS, you know, the machine itself. I think they configure the machine. Maybe you can help us make sense of it.
Let me first of all speak to the ATM, 80 Naira. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The one that Madam Esther
spoke to. I think I still recommend that Madam Esther needs to go to her bank, because now it's starting with 80 Naira. We don't know what he might now graduate into. Maybe it's now going to be 800 or 1,000 Naira. So Madam Esther, I think you should still speak to your bank. I'm weary of using my card even outside Nigeria. So it's not even limited to Nigeria. Even cards that are, I'm always very conscious, except it's in a very reputable location. Especially, you know, there are some places you get into and you give the details of that card.
Yeah.
The number, the security number.
Yeah,
the bank.
Yes.
If those two are available, in a lot of cases, you will not need your PIN.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Yeah. In a lot of places, if you go to some of these very big hotels, that's all they need. Okay. Now, some of the transactions as well will always ask for a token. I use soft token, so I must have my phone. So even if we try to do a transaction with my card, the token will come to my phone and I'll be asked.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different versions of these cards. I don't know which one was used in this case. Mm. I don't know. If they get the details, it is true. They can use it for web transaction. But normally, my recommendation would be, without really going into the details, because we probably might need to bring maybe a software developer. They know. I have a friend who is, I don't want to mention the name of his company because I don't want you to enter Wahala.
Wahala. So thank you.
This guy... He owns a tech company. It's very brilliant guy, you know. In fact, he's one of the guys that built the software for identity management.
Hmm. Okay.
He doesn't use a smartphone, and he doesn't use a card. He says he always carries cash.
Oh, wow.
Because he understands how these things work. Having said that, my recommendation is, for all your card transactions, can you tell your banks to disable web transactions on that card if you don't use it for web transactions? the bank can disable web transactions. You don't want web transactions. Or better still, ensure that you have a token, whether it's a soft token or the hard one, where hard one, yeah, they give you a device that you can press and get a one-time password that you can impute. I think that is the only way I can recommend that you prevent this from happening.
Okay. How possible is this for us, for a card, you know, any of those cards, you know, a debit card, to be cloned? What's the possibility?
Look, I saw one video not long ago by an agent who, you know, was trying to advertise that he's, you know,
his brand is better.
He's better and he's an ethical agent, just a guy on the street. And he was holding the POS and was talking about, when you use your card with any agent, make sure that when you remove your card after you have finished your transaction, collect the POS from the, before you give the POS back to the guy. I mean, when they give you to input your
PIN, details, yeah.
Now, when you input your PIN and it says transaction approved and you tear your receipt and you remove your card, you must press cancel. Whether that works or not, I've not tried it before. But the guy is saying this, I'm a genuine and reputable agent. What we try to do where I work, okay, is to ensure that agents are set up in the localities where they are relatively known. Because number one, we have the details. You should also be able to trust them. The gentleman that called now says, Chris says, I use a particular POS agent until, you know, and we continue to improve on this. I mean, from 155,000 or so 3 years ago, we have about 1.5 million POS terminals across Nigeria. So we are going to have to continue to proliferate. The numbers is going to be like mosquito. It's going to be present everywhere. But we need to continue to improve on, you know, the technology to for fraud prevention. But look, when you use your card anywhere, if it's possible, ensure you press cancel after your transactions are completed. Because what it means is that there's a possibility that your details are retained in that POS.
Okay.
Okay, and they can still reinitiate.
Okay, we'll take a few more calls. Hello.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Please step away from where you are. It's a bit noisy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, this is much better now. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you. I'm so sorry. Call back if you can. Emmanuel?
Okay, yeah, you said something a while ago. We didn't get the answer to that question. I would like to ask that question again. You said that banks are laden with a whole lot of duties, you know, ways to make income. You know, they're sourcing for income, they're going all out to get money from anywhere possible. But the fintechs are streamlined, you know. They have one goal and one objective alone, just to make transactions faster, smoother, and secure. You know, how can the traditional banks catch up? Because it's giving the fintech guys an edge. And if you say that it's supposed to be like some form of synergy, you know, things are supposed to go the same way, how do the traditional guys catch up?
Look, I don't see the kind of collaboration that happens between the fintech and the banks may not be visible to, you know, an ordinary man on the street. So when you see a POS terminal and transactions going on that POS terminal, where do you think the money is going to? The money, you know, in most cases is going into a bank account. Okay, because most of the fintechs also, because they don't have the banking license, they are not able to keep money. You are not keeping the money. So the collaboration between the banks and the fintechs is quite huge. They are the ones that are still keeping the money. Now, what I mean by banks involved in so many other things that they've been doing forever, okay, are that, you know, you want a loan, the first place to approach is a bank. I mean, if it is huge, all these are also part of the inclusion, because if you are in I don't want to mention any, okay, my village, and there's no bank in my village, and you need a loan in my village today, the question is, how do you get it? You should be able to do that transaction even at an agent's location, as long as you have KYC, you know, simple details that you can provide. What the banks, the traditional banks, have to do, okay, which I also believe that they are doing, is to continue to empower the fintechs, because they are almost one and the same. The fact that the banks are not building, you know, brick and mortar branches anymore, the fact that they are not deploying ATMs anymore, largely, all this investment that they should have put in all this should be invested more in POS terminals, should be invested more in, you know, ensuring that the technology to prevent fraud from these terminals, you know, they need to pump more money in this direction. And okay, collaborate more with the fintechs. That's the way I believe that everyone.
Great, but it's 11:47 on the clock. Yeah. The phone lines are buzzing. I can't. Lagos, we cannot take any more calls. I'm so sorry. But we have come to this segment of the show so that we can go and we can come back and bring you Tech of the Week. And you know what we do on Tech of the Week? We introduce you to new and innovative technologies, things young people in Nigeria, old people in Nigeria are doing in the technology space. Okay, innovations. People are doing brilliant things too in this country.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do on this segment of the show by bringing you Tech of the Week. Mr. Debi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank
you. We hope that you come again, and this time when you are coming, you can talk about your brand in total. But for now, because we don't want wahala, but this has been an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
How can Lagosians reach you just in case they have questions?
Okay, so my phone number now? Or?
No, you cannot give out your they will bomb your life.
That's why
you can't give away your phone number. Do you have a LinkedIn profile, a Facebook or
yes,
Instagram?
Yes, I do. I can be found on Instagram more easily. Adebi Kunle Mister.
Okay,
that's right. The handle.
All right.
I think I really like that, so that we can keep the conversation going.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for coming.
Lady and gentleman, have a fantastic day, and sorry about the building collapse. And again, sorry about your 1,400.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lagos, let's take a very short break and bring you Tech of the Week. So stay with us.